morning. The lights are on this week, so I can see if you fall asleep, just so you know. Psalm 71 is where we're going to be this morning for just a few moments as we continue this theme, Are You Listening? And the point of that question is to prompt us to consider how we hear the voice of God today. What is God speaking into our life as individuals? How does that voice flow into what God is saying to us as a congregation so that we will kind of discern where we're at in time in this unique place with these unique people and the unique opportunities that come with that? So we've been looking at the Psalms, and Psalm 71 is where we'll be today as we consider this idea of what might God be saying to each of us as we listen for his voice. We've got quite a few missing today, so I appreciate your heartfelt worship and praise as we are really pursuing this mission of not just making things happen here and kind of looking for our own self-good. We've got college students over in Phoenix today who are doing outreach for their spring retreat, doing service projects and things, and that really is part of the DNA of who we want to be, that God does things in us and we share those blessings. And so we're missing a few folks today, but we hope that they are a blessing as they go out and share God's love with those that they're meeting. So as I look at Psalm 71, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 together in just a few minutes. It's a little bit pessimistic at times. There's some heavy moments in this psalm, and I'm an optimist, so I struggle with what to do with those. I don't always know how to handle these kind of pessimistic voices in Scripture. But this psalm I'm kind of thinking of as the voice of experience. And as I was thinking through this and considering how do we present this idea, this voice of experience, I thought of a voice that has not much experience yet in life, and my daughter Olivia. And she's got this game going recently, and it doesn't really have a name, but it's kind of something like, things can always get worse. And so this, again, is challenging the optimist in me, because things can always get better, right? So, no, for Olivia, things can always get worse. And so she said, well, Mom, as she's supposed to be going to sleep, of course, Mom, if you fell off a cliff, what would happen? She said, well, I'm wearing a parachute. I'm okay. Yeah, but there's a hole in your parachute, Mom. Well, Daddy's going to come with a helicopter. He'll save me. Well, the helicopter breaks, and it's hurtling towards the bottom of this canyon. Well, it's okay. It's okay. There's a trampoline at the bottom of the canyon. We'll be all right. No, the weight of the helicopter, Mom, is going to smash that trampoline. It's not going to work. Well, there's a mattress under the trampoline, and we'll be okay. There's dynamite under the mattress, Mom. You're not going to make it. And so this goes on, and finally Emily just has to say, well, I'm in heaven. And that's just kind of the trump card of where that ends. And I always like that. So the optimist, at least eventually, wins. Psalm 71, 1 through 9, this voice of experience. They know the good times of life, but they know things are never certain. We know things have gone well. Here's today, and here's what we're dealing with. And so we open our Bibles, and here is the voice of God to us today. I've taken refuge in you, Lord. Don't let me ever be put to shame. Deliver me and rescue me by your righteousness. Bend your ear toward me and save me. Be my rock of refuge where I can always escape. You commanded that my life be saved because you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked. Rescue me from the grip of the wrongdoer and the oppressor because you are my hope. You, Lord, are the one I've trusted since childhood. I've depended on you since birth. You cut the cord when I came from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I've become an example to many people because you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, glorifying you all day long. So, don't cast me off in old age. Don't abandon me when my strength is used up. This is a voice of experience. They have seen what God has done, and he has proven faithful over and over again. But today is a new crisis. And so, as I approach the text, I feel the weight of it more and more as Sunday comes closer, and I think, how do I do this text justice? Because I don't have as much experience as this person seems to have. They've got some years on me. They seem to be looking from, you know, an elderly person looking back, reviewing their life, and they've got a lot of experience that I don't have. They've dealt with things that I have not seen yet. And so I thought, well, do I know any elderly people? And I couldn't think of any. But there is this Wednesday Bible class that meets, and they've got more experience than I do. And so I asked them about this psalm, and I said, what do you hear when you read this psalm? How does this speak to your life experience as people of faith who have lived a little bit longer than I have? And so you're going to hear their voices, I hope, as we look at this psalm today. And it's a beautiful thing what we hear from one another in the voice of God as he speaks in us. This person in Psalm 71, they've never really known a day without God. At the very moment of their birth, God was there. This person says, you cut the cord. There's not been a moment in life where this person hasn't felt the presence of God so close. From birth to childhood, they're now a senior saint. And God has been faithful, and he has proven to be there through one crisis and another. But today is yet another day of crisis. When I think about the Psalms, I think about David. We attribute a lot of these to him. And I wonder, if this had been David writing this, what crisis inspired this psalm? What about David's life caused him to write words like, don't cast me off in my old age. Don't abandon me when my strength is used up. So we know about David and his victory. You can say David and everyone fills in the blank, right? It's David and Goliath. But there's always another giant. And the story that we don't hear as much about is David and the giant that he faces in 2 Samuel 21, 16, and 17. If you want to turn there quickly, you can. There's another giant. He's like Goliath, but David has changed. He's not quite as young as he used to be in 2 Samuel as when he was facing Goliath. His strength isn't quite what it was. And so he goes out to battle, and this giant nearly kills him. He has to be saved by some of his men. And basically, after the end of this battle, they say, David, you don't get to go out to war anymore. You're not the young warrior you used to be. This weekend warrior stuff just isn't going to cut it. We love you. We want you safe. And I was struck by that. Because we face things in life and we think, okay, I know how to handle this kind of crisis. But every situation is so unique, right? And we think, oh, I've done this before. And maybe we have more experience, but we're still not the person we used to be. Some of our strength isn't what it was. And as I thought about that, I was just struck by the story that a friend of mine told. He was a minister in Tucson, and he said, I was sitting by the bed of one of our elderly members. They were ready to pass away. Their body was about spent. And they looked me in the eye, and they said, it's still me inside. Whew. That just catches me in the heart. We change as life goes on, but it's still us in here. We can't do all the things we used to do, maybe, but that personality is still there, and it's vibrant, and it's sharp, and it's real, this child of God. Things change, our needs change, but like this psalmist says in verse 9, don't forget me. It's still me today. One of my favorite lines of music, of songs that I've heard recently, says, I still remember when time was frozen. What seemed forever was just a moment. And that is like life, because we get into these good rhythms and we think, this is a nice place to be. And it just never quite lasts as long as we expected to. There's always another battle, and it's never the same experience twice, right? We have these new stresses as we get older. And so I asked some of my friends with more life experience than I have. I said, what are the new stresses that you face in different seasons of life? And they talked about caring for aging spouses. They talked about the pain, overwhelming grief of losing an adult child, things you don't expect to happen. talked about how their body reminds them that their health isn't what it used to be, that they have these physical limitations that sometimes cause them to not do all the things that they would love to do as they think about them. They have concerns for the generation that will come behind them. What will life be like for them? One of them mentioned how you're kind of always in crisis, at least by extension, because we've got 6 kids, he said, and one of them's coming out of it, but another one's just at the very start of something big. And I think like this psalmist, we can just very much feel. We've been here before. We know, God, what you've done in the past, but today's a new day, and things are different. We still believe that you're going to do what you've always done, and yet we know these enemies, they see their chance, and they're waiting at the door for that one moment where you blink, and you're not concealing us, as our children talked about earlier. When we talk about strength not being what it used to be, one of them said, "This too shall pass, and let it be today." So apparently patience isn't a given as you get older either. But I think what I love about this psalm is we consider life in whatever stage we're in and the crises that will come. Sorry, Emily, she's an English teacher. She'll get me for that one later. As we face trials in life, what the psalms do for us, they give us this communal memory, this cumulative experience. Where we've been there yet or whether we're looking back, we have this shared story, don't we? We remember even as individual memories fade. It's really painful to watch someone go before their body does, right? Their memory slips away. They don't remember all of the things that you do. And so we remember for them. I remember seeing my Granny Chaffin, and don't ask me to explain that. I'm a Chaffin. She was Granny Chaffin. She had Alzheimer's, and we'd go and visit her. And she loved to see us, but she had no idea who we were. And so it was a really beautiful moment, and my dad would tell us stories about growing up and eating her blackberry cobbler, but these were not memories that she had anymore. And what I was really impressed by as I sat and I listened to our Wednesday Bible class talk about stories of life, they weren't so eager to share their own stories. They said, tell that time. You remember that. Tell that time when you and your husband did such and such. They were eager to share the stories of their friends. Friends who had lived lives of faith. I had the privilege of meeting Bob Riddle, who hasn't been here in some years now. Lives pretty close. He's 82 now and has Parkinson's. And they said, you know what? He and his wife used to be on their hands and knees outside this building, and they would weed these flower beds that we see out here now. Someone else does that now. But that was their job then, and they just took pride in it. And you could tell by his landscaping even now, these California poppies and this beautiful Palo Verde tree, his love for nature and God. Or they said, do you remember when the Bernies cared for that young family at Christmas time? There was this one young couple and they didn't have much to eat, and so they took care of that. And that kind of grew into something where now Tempe Church gives away over 20 bags of food to different families who need that every year. These shared memories, they honor lives of service, don't they? How much more do they honor the God that those lives were lived in service to? And so we learn to accept a new stage of life as we get older. There's frustration sometimes, they said. There's anger and anxiety and resentment. But you learn to accept that. You learn to accept your limitations. And it's not a denial of these new stressors. It's just, here's what is. What will God do in this? I really liked the advice that my friends the Matthews gave me. She had been recently diagnosed with cancer. So we're standing in the middle of this church building and everyone's laughing and talking about lunch plans, and they said, you know, you just give things the attention they deserve and no more. And then you go and you live your life. And I liked that a lot. Because so many times, whatever trial is on our hearts, it consumes us and it becomes everything. But give it the attention it deserves. Trust that God is being attentive as well. And see what he does in that. These psalms are a rehearsal of God's goodness. And we tell these stories again and again. And maybe sometimes, like with communion or things like that, that we do so repetitively, we wonder, why are we doing this again? It's because these stories need to be told so that they will be remembered. These things like my grandmother, who would come up to you and she'd kind of stand by your side and put her arm around you and she'd say, "You know, I've probably never told you this." And you think, "Only about 1,000 times, Grandma." And she tells you that story again about being 4 years old and how you were in an airport and everything that went on there. I only know that story because she told it to me 1,000 times. You see, I think we hear God's voice as we reflect and we repeat his acts. And we tell these stories through the lives that we live. We say, "Hey, remember that time when God did this and we were there and we saw it." Let's not forget that. God's voice is heard as we repeat these acts of righteousness. I like verse 15. "My mouth will repeat your righteous acts, your saving deeds." I don't even know how many those are. Isn't that us? We know the big stories and we repeat those, but how many more would we be able to tell had we been aware of everything God had spared us of? Things we never had to deal with because God took care of it. Verse 16, where he says, "I will help others remember what you have done for me." Psalm 71 begins with this idea of potential shame, but it ends with this twist in verse 24. "My tongue will tell of your righteousness all day long, because those who seek my downfall have been put to shame. They have been disgraced." The only shame waiting in this life is waiting for those who are wanting God to fail and thinking he will. God's voice is echoing from days long past, and it's heard in this chorus of, "I remember that time when God showed up." So I would love to challenge you today as we think about this psalm and wherever you're at in terms of life experience. Consider what God has done for you and consider talking about it. How many people have you told of the good things that God has done in your life? And I think it's a challenge because some of us might wonder, "I don't know what that story would be." But I wonder if we're not listening then, if we're not paying attention. Know your story from God's perspective and tell that. They say that hindsight is 20/20, but I think it's the same with these memories and hearing God's voice as it catches up with us from the past and we look back and say, "Oh yeah, I didn't even realize what God was doing then." We have this aged wisdom. It's like wine. It's uncontainable. It's life in the spirit. It's ever expanding. It's ever new. The wineskins are bursting because of the things that God has done. And I am so grateful for the voices of experience throughout my life who have told me about God and reminded me to look for him. And very rarely have they been theologians. It's the teachers and the farmers and the people that took time to teach my Bible school, my grandparents. It's been ex-cons and recovering drug addicts. It's been some ministers, but it's been a lot of computer programmers and people who do that kind of work too. People who lived their lives at the feet of Jesus, and they paid attention and they listened, and when crisis came, they said, "Okay, I don't know how you're going to take care of this, but I know what you've done before." So I wanted to close this morning with just some parting wisdom from what that class shared with me. I said, "What's important? What are some things that you would like to share?" And these are some of the things that they said. They said, "Hang on. Stay close to God. Whatever God did or didn't do, it was for my best. He has not forgotten." A friend of mine that wasn't in the room and has since passed away, he used to say, "Too soon old, too late smart." Or Tom Tomlinson said it like this on Wednesday. He said, "Wisdom comes with age, but sometimes age comes all by itself." We've been those people, but we don't have to be. Because we have this chorus of wisdom that says, "Look and see, remember what God has done. He has not forgotten you." We want to get to our later experience of life and feel like we have done the best with what we had to work with. God is speaking in these moments. He's speaking through us. Are we listening? Won't you stand with us and sing this song? And if you'd like to respond with anything on your heart today, you can come forward and talk as we sing.